If you would, open your Bibles, please, to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And though it's not on the subject of what we had yesterday in regards to our conference, I think it does speak to somewhat a simple fact that we as the children of God have. Ephesians chapter 1, begin reading with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, and whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Let us pray. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, dear Lord, we're so very, very thankful for this day and for this good number that have come out. Dear Father, I pray that you would speak to us today, and dear Lord, that you would cause us to understand the wonderful truths, the wonderful blessings that are ours as being thy child. Dear God, I pray that as we look at these things, they'll stir our hearts and cause us to praise you greater and more than we have been. Dear Father, I pray that it would charge us to go out and to serve you in our communities. Dear Lord, I just pray that it would encourage us to tackle the tasks that will come our way. And dear Lord, if there be one here that's lost, I pray this is the day that you speak to their hearts. Dear Lord, what you'll do, we'll thank you and praise you for these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The subject that I'd like to address our thoughts to this morning is how wonderfully blessed we are. How wonderfully, magnificently blessed that we are. I'd like to take as a text verse 3, that is, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That will be the foundation text that we'll look at. However, we'll be making references to the other verses that we read. And I think it was important also that we looked at all those to see them in the context with which everything comes together. For the most part, I fear that when we address the blessings of God, that there are things that we say, but not exactly what we truly believe. Beloved, there's not a person here today who can honestly say that they have not been blessed of God. Every one of us have been blessed, and blessed abundantly by God, and blessed wonderfully by God. Regardless of what the world would cause us or try to cause us to think, or whatever the doubts that may creep into our minds from time to time, will cause us to think. This is something, beloved, that is not only true, in regard to spiritual blessings, but rather it also finds itself in regard to many, many other subjects, especially the subject of blessings, what we have, what God has given us. I believe that it is of the utmost importance that every once in a while, every now and again, that we remind ourselves of some of the things that we have in the Lord. We can't cover them all at any one time. You know, the little cheerful song that we sing occasionally, Count Your Blessings. You know, if you sit down and start counting them off one by one, before very long, you're going to run out of time. Your heart's going to be lifted up, and you're not going to do any more than scratch the surface of what God has done for us and what God has blessed us with. These are all things that we have to be reminded come to us through Christ. Not through ourselves, not through our abilities, but through Christ and Him alone. The world looks upon us as ones who completely miss the mark, who totally don't understand it or totally don't get it in regard to the things that we've been given that are blessings. They don't understand what it is to be able to serve the Lord, and really, we can't expect them to because they are in the flesh, they are in the world, they don't have a spiritual mind at this particular time. For the most part, people evaluate or consider blessings only from a temporal standpoint, only from a temporal view. You know, we've all heard them say that, you know, if you'll send in some outrageous sum of money to some high-power televangelist, that you'll be given back that much plus more. God doesn't promise that. Nowhere does He promise that. In fact, what is given is supposed to be given to whom? The church, right? Amen. You're not supposed to give that out to every other Tom, Dick, or Harry that's out there. If you want to help somebody out, that's one thing. But what you give to the service of the Lord is to be given to the church, the local body of Christ, where you attend. There are some who believe, or they're told, that all they need to do to eliminate all their problems, to all the things that bother them, all the things that get them down, all the things that are holding them back, is all you have to do is be saved or get saved, whichever way you want to look at it, and everything else is going to be all right. You're going to go through the rest of your life healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's an out-and-out lie, isn't it? Anybody here this morning that's been saved any period of time at all ever found that all of a sudden you didn't have any problems just because you were saved? No. In fact, many problems just begin after you're saved, because then's when you have Satan fighting against you, which wasn't so before. We also know that what this does, as we look at it, it points again to people viewing blessings as only being those things from a temporal view. Well, I'm blessed of God because I live in a big, fancy, multi-million-dollar house. I'm blessed of God because I have a huge bank account like Clarence. I'm blessed of God because, you know, I drive around in a car that costs more than some people's houses. I have to be blessed. Well, guess what? That's not a sign of blessings at all. And in fact, rather than being blessings from God, that may be rewards from Satan for what you've been doing for him. Because from what I have read, most of the time, most millionaires and billionaires become that way by hook and by crook. By cutting throats, not literally, of course, by crushing the little guy, and by climbing over top of him. That's how they gain it. Does God expect us to deal that way? Not at all. Not at all. I am sure that I am positive that the only true way, the only sure way that you and I can look at our life and see the blessings that God has given us is to see them from an eternal standpoint. That is, those things that will last, those things that indeed are not temporal. Let's go back just a moment to that automobile that cost more than some folks' houses. I hope I don't annoy anybody or anybody that may listen to this. But why in the world, if you want an SUV, something to go up in rough roads and do all the kind of stuff that you do in one, why on earth you gonna pay for a Cadillac or a Lincoln to do that with? That's just stupid. I saw the other day a Lincoln Continental pickup truck. Now, wouldn't that be nice to watch deer blood drain out the back of it? You know, if you want a truck, get a truck. But the world looks at things far differently than we do. But let's go back to my point where I was going with that vehicle. What's going to happen over time if you use it? It's going to rust. It's going to need repairs. The luster is going to go. Unless you get a can or whatever, that new vehicle smell is going to go out of it. And it's going to go the way of any other car. That multi-million dollar home, one fire could utterly wipe it out. Why? They are temporal. They're not spiritual. They're not eternal. And while we look at things as children of God, we do have temporal blessings. What am I talking about? Those of you that have a job to go to, you're blessed with a job to be able to provide for your family. You are given, we are given, health to be able to get out of bed and to go and do the things that we want to do. I mean, we just have to look no further than Brother Howard or the problems that he's had with his back to be thankful that we're able to spring out of bed every day. Because with the problems he has, it's difficult for him sometimes. Well, I guess it's fair to say right now, most times. And, you know, God blesses us with the ability to do things. And then we'll grumble and fuss and quarrel. Oh, I don't want to get up. You know, oh, my back is stiff. I'm not talking about hurt. I'm not about just stiff because of the way we laid. You know, or my legs, so man, I had cramps last night. And the thing we need to do is just be quiet and thank God that we can get out of bed and go do what we have to do. We all have been given food to eat. Some of us rather abundantly. You can tell by looking at me, I haven't missed too many meals. We have plenty of food to eat. We have clothes to wear. We have been blessed, have we not? Blessed temporally. But all those temporal things will one day be left behind. And what we'll have at that point and be able to forever enjoy are the spiritual, eternal blessings that we've been given by God. They'll never fade in any way. The world didn't give these blessings to us, and therefore the world cannot take them away from us, no matter how hard they may try. When this wicked, sinful world and all it has to offer, all the lies that it spreads, will pass away, the blessings that you and I have as a child of God will remain. And we'll be able to enjoy them forever. As we look at these verses this morning, it's my intent that God will stir our hearts and remind each of us what we have in the Lord. And at the same time, if there's somebody here this morning that's lost, beloved, I want you to understand that the thing that you are desperately missing in your life is the Lord Himself. And these blessings that we'll be speaking of can be yours once you're saved by God's grace. I'm not promising you'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise. I'm promising you eternal blessings through the Lord our Savior. If you're here this morning and lost, or saved rather, we know that we may not well have all of the, the physical things that we want. But beloved, we have been tremendously blessed of God. And that's the things I want us to consider as we look through. First of all, there is the identity of these blessings, if we found in verse 3. The blessing that God gives us are all unmistakable, if you'll just open your eyes. Their source, we need to notice, is as we saw in verse 3, there can be absolutely no mistaking, no wondering, no questions at all as to where those blessings come from, because it states there that they have been given to us by God. Now that's important for us to get a hold of. Not given to us by anything else. Our hard work, our determination, our goal, none of those things. They were given to us by God Himself. That takes us out of it, doesn't it? I'm sure that we would all have to agree that we have many, many blessings in our lives, and each and every one of them have been extended to us through the good hand of Almighty God and nowhere else. He and He alone is the one who is responsible for what we have in this life. Think about that. This evening, when you settle back in your easy chair and do whatever it is that you do on Sunday evening, I like to meditate myself. But do whatever it is that you do on Sunday evening and you're comfortable, remember where that come from. Remember why you're that way. Remember what you have that's been given to you by God and only through Him. If you have been blessed in any way, and I think it's fair to say that we've been blessed more ways than we could ever count, they all come from Him. Think of it this way. The God of glory, the Almighty Creator, takes the time to see that each and every one of His people are blessed, are given those things that we need. Beloved, that shows us the personal relationship that we have with God. This underlines the fact that when we were saved, the Lord came and spoke to us directly. Think of it this way. When Jesus stood before that graveyard where Lazarus was buried, had Jesus just said, "Come forth," every grave there would have burst open, wouldn't it? But He declared, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus responded. Now what's that got to do with us? Beloved, when you were saved by the grace of God, you could have been with a multitude of people. But whenever it transpired, God called you by name. Audibly? No. But you knew in your spirit, you knew within, that God called you. And you had a burning desire more than anything else to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You didn't understand it all. I don't understand it all now. But I do know this. It was unmistakable when the Lord called my name. There wasn't any doubt in my mind. And there wasn't any doubt in yours, I'm sure. There are two words that should never be in our vocabulary, and that it being luck and coincidence, because there's no such thing. God is directly in control, isn't He? Well, and I know how we use it this week, Lord willing, when I go out hunting, my aunt and I say, "Well, I hope you have good luck today." And I said the same thing to them. And what we're saying is, "Well, I hope you get what you're going out there for." But luck had nothing to do with it. Let me bring it down a little closer. Now we have and we practice with our turkey calls, don't we? We get it to where it sounds somewhat like a turkey. But our skill with a turkey call isn't what does it. You could sit out there and form your hand and go, turkey, 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 and you'd be just as successful. Why? Because it's God who enables it to happen. Right? And if it don't happen, don't get too upset about it, because it just wasn't God's purpose for you to be successful on that particular day. We're not left to wander aimlessly through life. We're not left to just hopefully stumble upon blessings, to stumble upon those things that we need. We don't have to force everything in life. No, those blessings were given to us by God. And the only thing that we're expected to do is serve Him, right? We are expected to serve Him. We're expected to praise Him. We're expected to worship Him. We're expected to put Him first in our lives. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be what? Added unto you. Those things that we need will be added, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Notice the scope of this. This verse not only reveals who gives us our blessing, but it also deals with what it is that He gives to us. No, it doesn't name them off specifically what they are, but they are told to us here. He hasn't provided our blessings, some of them, or even most of them. He's given us all of them. And we can't lose sight of that, although it's so easy for us to do. You know, I was in terrible need. And, you know, this person came to me and said, you know, I want to do this. I want to do this or that, whatever it might be. And that was exactly what I needed at that particular time, the exact time I needed it the most. Boy, aren't I fortunate that that person came. No, God sent that person to you. God put on that person's heart to do something. Beloved, if God ever puts on your heart, and don't get me wrong, I got my hands behind my back. I don't have my hand out. But if God ever puts somebody on your heart to help, do it. Do it. Because number one, they need it. And number two, you'll be blessed for doing what God would have you to do. Am I telling you the truth? You know, that's true in every instance. Where does this bring us to? Just take a moment and consider all that we have received in this life. Now, age has a way of affecting the way we think, doesn't it? I mean, my birthday coming up this year, I'll turn 57. And the fact is, though I'm not old by no means, I'm not a young man anymore. I'm not a young preacher anymore. But I like to think I'm a whole lot wiser than I was when I was young. And I see things a lot differently now than I did. I see the big picture, so to speak, a lot more clearly now than I did then. And what does that got to do with it? It's God who enables us to do these things. Otherwise, we're just like that person who's 30 years old going on 12. You know, they don't ever grow up. And I have to confess to you, I really don't have a lot of patience for somebody like that. You know, I remember being told when I was much, much younger, to act your age. Well, as I've gotten older, I see there is a need for that. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't be young at heart. We're all young at heart, aren't we? We like to kid, we like to have fun, we enjoy life that God gives us, but we also know when it's time to get down and be serious and do what we have to do and take care of what has to be taken care of first and then do the other things. I wasn't where I intended to take that, but anyhow, that's where it went. I won't charge you for it. Take into account for just a moment the salvation that God has given to us. Consider the fellowship that we have, not only with ourselves, but with God, wherever we are at any given time. Think about what a blessing it is to be a part of a church and a church family. Beloved, I count it a blessing from God to be able to stand up here and preach to each and every one of you. And I miss you when you're gone. I really do. And, well, everybody but Keela anyway. But you know, if it bothers me if somebody's not with us and there's a reason that something here at church didn't hit right. That upsets me to no end. Why? We're all together, aren't we? We're all part of one family. And we should look after each other. Think about what a blessing it is that we can do that. Think about the blessing that we've been given, the family that we give. Cherish your family. Love your family like the blessing that it is. You know, don't bemoan your family. Don't fuss about your family. Yeah, they do things that upset you. I find it hard to believe, but I guess over the last 35 years, there may have been once that I annoyed my wife. You know, well, I can tell by the way you're laughing. I know I haven't even done it once, but I was going to give her the benefit of the doubt. But you know, I wouldn't take my family for nothing in the world. Not even the big thing I found out in the dismal swamp and they made me bring home. God blesses us, doesn't He? Cherish your family. Think about the wisdom and growth that we've obtained of the Lord. Think about all those things as the blessings that they are and where they come from. When we think of this one thing, how can we not be amazed at what God has given to us? Secondly, let's notice the quality of these blessings. Now we're going to deal, I'm going to be mentioning some dirty words. I am. I'm going to mention some words here that a lot of circles, when you see it, faces get red and eyebrows come down and frowns come upon faces. And all of a sudden, they just click a button and turn you off. But guess what? The words I'm using are in the Bible. They're not originated with me. They're in Scripture. And I hate to say it this way, but if you have a problem with it, you don't have a problem with me. You have a problem with God who put it there. The first one of those, in verse 4, it deals with our election. Ooh, I said it. Our election. Don't forget for one instant that we were chosen of God before He ever created this world. Didn't He? Our names were recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life before this world was ever created. In the plan and purpose of God, Jesus Christ was slain before the foundation of this world. That means that God had chosen us before He ever created Adam. We were chosen. God knew us and knew that we would belong to Him before we were ever placed in our mother's womb. God knew it. We were chosen to be holy, set apart, and consecrated unto God by Him. Now, let me make this personal. Before this universe ever was created, God had chosen me not only to be saved one day, but to be a minister of His Word. That's why I'm here. That's my purpose in life. There's a whole lot of things that I wish I could do or do better. I love working with my hands. I really do. And I'm learning a lot. I'm learning. But this one thing I do. You understand what I'm saying? This is what I'm here for. And this takes first place. It has to. To everything else. The Lord chose to make us holy before we were ever born. We were chosen to be free from sin, above reproach, and without fault, blemish, or defilement. But here, let me caution you here with this. This does not mean, in any way, form, or fashion, this does not mean that we were already born saved. That's hard shellism. We were born as lost could be. What this tells us is that we were purposed of God to one day hear the gospel and be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ through faith in Him. Now, having said that, do you know who's elected? I don't. And for that matter, it does not matter. Because my command is to preach and teach whosoever will, to every creature. Right? I'm to witness to everyone. I'm to be good to everyone. I'm to be faithful in teaching the Word of God to everyone. But I know that those who respond are those to whom God has called. Why? Because the world will never have a desire at all. This does not mean that we believe that there's people who desire to be saved that are on the outside because they weren't chosen. That's ignorant. And that's the nicest way I can put it. Because if any person has a desire to be saved, that desire is put in that heart by God. Right? If anybody has a desire to be saved, they're being drawn by the Spirit of God. And then he tells us in the Word that all that will come unto him, he will in no wise cast out. So don't make this doctrine say things that it doesn't say, and don't twist it to say that those of us who believe it believe things that we do not. You know, the Bible uses that other word, dirty word, predestination. Woo! I said two of them in one service. But as we saw yesterday, predestination only talks about us being conformed to the image of His dear Son, right? That is the grand sum of that of the teaching of predestination. Verse 5 deals with our adoption. At the very moment that we are saved, at that moment when God, through His Spirit, breaks our hearts, causes us to realize our condition, causes us to realize that we are hell bound and we deserve to go to hell, and we cry out for forgiveness, from that moment on, we are adopted into His family, right? Remember, there's three things that kind of go together. It's a nice little way of marking some. We are born into our... I got it mixed up in my mind. I had it straight a minute ago. We are born into the kingdom, adopted into the family, and baptized into the body. Right? And if we keep those three things semi-straight, the other thing will kind of come together in regard to that. That is the only way that any of us could become the children of God was through adoption, because we were on the outside with no way to get in. We weren't just looking in, we couldn't get in. We were born in sin. The Bible declares that in sin my mother did what? Conceived me. And that's not an insult to our mothers. It just states about the nature, the Adamic nature that we have, right? That we were born in sin and thereby separated by God. Now, does that mean that there's babies in hell? No. 1,000,000,000 times, no. All those babies that have been murdered in the abortion clinics, they're in glory, I believe, with all my heart. All those babies that die in childbirth or shortly thereafter or never become old enough to understand, they're with the Lord right now. There's a term that is used sometimes. We talk about the age of accountability, the time that a person can know. And the question comes up, you know, just exactly when is that time? There's no set time. Why are we talking about? So, not everybody matures at the same rate. And there are some who, for whatever physical reason, they never can fully understand. What's that mean about them? They're covered by innocence. And if something happens to them and they never can understand, they'll go to be with the Lord. I believe that with all my heart. Because they're innocent. They don't know. They don't understand. Some may disagree with me, but that's all right. That's just a point we'll disagree on. Because I do believe they go to be with the Lord. Our adoption. We did not belong to the Lord's family at the outset. So therefore, adoption through salvation was our only hope and our only way in. Now, if we think back to the way things were in the biblical times, it was a lot different than it is now. In the biblical era, the family was not guided by the father. It was not directed by the father. It was quite frankly ruled by the father. Now, what's that got to do? What's that mean? Well, beloved, what that means, he had the supreme, ultimate authority over his children to such a point that he could choose to work, enslave, sell, or even pronounce the death penalty on his children. Proverbs talks about what to do if you have an unruly son, right? So he had the authority to do those things. However, this authority was limited when it came to adoption. Adopted children fell under a more stringent set of rules than those that were naturally born. An adopted son was adopted permanently. He could not ever be disowned by his father, or natural born children could be if so desired. An adopted son immediately had all the rights of a legitimate son in the new family. Everything that the natural born children had, the adopted child was given. The adopted son therefore lost all rights to his own family. He was looked upon as being a new person, so new that the old debts and obligations that were connected with his former life were canceled out and abolished as if they never existed. He couldn't be held accountable for anything that he had done before once he was adopted. I'll let that sink in just a second. Think about you and I. We were adopted forever. Not ever to be cast out. We were adopted forever. And we will never lose our inheritance that is our place with God. We have all the rights and privileges of the Son to come to God, to ask God to intercede on our behalf and things of that nature. And all our debt, which would have been, in this case, our sin debt, all of the iniquity that was in our life, was paid in full through the blood of Christ, never to be remembered or held against us anymore. If that can't make your heart raise in praise, I don't think anything will. Totally set free. Jesus said, whom the Son set free is what? Free indeed. None of that is held against us any longer. Verse 6 does with our reception. We're no longer strangers or outcasts. We're no longer viewed as someone who has no rights or associations with the family. We have been granted a place in there because of our adoption. And therefore we can go to him at any time for any reason and he will be attentive unto us. Verse 7 deals with our redemption. The children of God have been redeemed through his mercy and grace by the blood that was shed on the cross. That's the only way. Nothing but the blood could make that possible. We have been forgiven of the sin debt we stood accountable to repay. Redemption has within it the picture of a slave that has been purchased and then set free. the person who purchased the slave had all the rights to this slave, didn't he? And if that person wished to set them free, then they had all the rights to do so. We were purchased by God through the blood of Christ, and we've been set free. Not free to just go and do as we please, but we've now been set free to serve Him and honor Him and do what He would have us to do. We were clothed in rags, clothed in sin, filthy and dirty, deserving nothing but death and hell. When we were unlovable, as we saw yesterday, Jesus loved and purchased us in setting us free from that terrible debt. Cleansed by His precious blood and made one of His own. Verses 9 through 11 deals with our possession. The blessings we have considered so far are more than enough to cause us to rejoice. But God has already done much more for us than we could ever deserve. You know, think about what it'll be like when this life of heartache and pain, disappointment, discouragement will be set aside. Think about what it'll be like to one day hear our Savior call our name, or we will hear the trumpet sound when the Lord comes back and will enter into our heavenly rest that He has prepared for us. We got a lot to look forward to, don't we? Not only are we wonderfully blessed in this life, we have tremendous blessings yet to come. Verses 13 and 14 deals with our preservation. If we are saved, we're as good as there already. Think of it this way. According to what we find in the book of Revelation in regard to what with John, he already saw us there. He already saw the redeemed gathered around the throne worshiping God. We're the same as there. This is just part of the journey that we have to go through in order to get there. There's nothing that will keep us from inheriting all that God has for us in glory. Thirdly, the necessity of these blessings. And I'll wrap this up real quick. Verse 3. What must happen is the requirement that it must be met in order to obtain these blessings is that it's all in Christ. You have to be saved. You have to be in Christ. You have to be with Christ, in other words, in order to receive these things. There's no other way. What are we saying? The only way for it to happen is a person must be saved. Simply put, these blessings are given to those who are saved. Not those who deserve them, because none of us do. But those that have been given to us by God through Christ. And finally, what makes this possible? Jesus purchased our redemption on the cross. And everything that He did in that supreme sacrifice makes this possible for us. We are His possession. When Jesus ascended back to His Father, He sent the Holy Spirit to indwell us. And we have His presence with us every day. Now you think about in the Old Testament, they had the Spirit. It was given to them, but it didn't indwell them like we have now. Jesus, in regard to that, said one time, "He that is with you shall be in you." I know there's those that believe that the Spirit's dwelt with people throughout the Scripture the same way. I disagree with that simply because then you'd have people like Saul, you have people like Samson, you'd have those that have, by that teaching, really they have to be saved and lost, saved and lost, saved and lost all through their life because the Spirit left them, right? We're indwelt. The Spirit is with us forever. What a blessing. We are sealed by that Spirit until the day of redemption. What's the day of redemption? That's the day when we go to be with our Lord, when all this life will be over. The Spirit stands as the promise that Jesus will return for all of those for whom He has purchased. Make no mistake, regardless of what happens in this world, the saved will make it to heaven one day. Not only if or maybe, we will make it there one day. We are secure in the Lord. So let me close by simply asking this question. Is there anyone here this morning that knows the Lord that cannot honestly say how wonderfully and magnificently blessed that we are through Christ for all that He has done for us. Let us pray.